Well, good morning, everybody. Anna is right that Synod's not far away. As I do my count on my hands, I have two Sundays with you before I go to General Pastors Conference. There's a lot going on in this short time. Please pray for Anna. Please pray for myself and for the wider church at large as we prepare for General Synod. I plead for that this day deeply. Putting that aside though right now, I want to draw your attention to the fact that in our community there is a ridiculously high number of people who are in deep need. Deep need for help, for food, people who are going through crisis situations, who are homeless, people who are struggling. Most of us gathered here today don't understand the full depths of the needs in our community. I don't. Here at our church, we are blessed to have groups like Loaves and Fishes, of which Marilyn leads a team of volunteers to help make that happen. And as Anna said at the beginning of the service, we have opportunity to come together to cook a barbecue to help raise some funds towards Loaves and Fishes ministry. But there's a group in our church, in our Victor Harbour area that have been around for a lot longer than Loaves and Fishes, and it's a group called South Coast Christian Community Care, which all the Christian churches here in town have said we are going to support as our number one means of which we are to reach out to people in our community. And today I just want to draw your attention back to South Coast Christian Community Care as a group that we are part of. It's a group which is discovering that over the years, many churches like our own have gone and created its own ministry, which is helpful because no one particular ministry can serve all the care of at least 10 groups in our town that provide emergency relief support. But South Coast Christian Community Care is unique. And I ask you today that you keep in mind how you can support this group as well. I've got a video I'd love to share with you of the work of South Coast Christian Community Care.
In 1991, the local Christian churches on the southern Fluria Peninsula responded to a need to help people going through tough and stressful times caused by circumstances beyond their control. The local Christian churches responded collectively to establish a registered non-for-profit organization known as South Coast Christian Community Care. South Coast Christian Community Care is not the local Christian churches. The aim of South Coast Christian Community Care is to provide emergency care for our community. Matthew 25:40, whatever you do for the least of these, you did as unto me. We want to be Jesus to our community. Started initially with food donations to families in dire need, and with time, this has expanded into a range of assistance, ranging from emergency accommodation, fuel, prescription medication or clothing, including referral services to specialized social service agencies. 2019 records show that South Coast Christian Community Care has assisted over 700 registered individuals, ranging from high school students to minors, ever-growing ongoing challenges in Australia and in our local community. South Coast Christian Community Care cannot be the complete answer to these issues. Jesus is. We endeavour to assist people in their journey and provide some, if not all, the practical support and care they are often desperately needing. Prayer is offered and many are willing for the volunteers to pray for them. South Coast Christian Community Care has served our southern Fluria Peninsula community for well over 30 years now. We are only able to do this by relying on His grace and the compassionate hearts of our volunteers. volunteers and donors. Regularly needs either financial, South Coast Christian Community Care. All donations, monetary or in kind, go completely to assist those who are in need in our community. Your help to make this effort possible and continue into the future is essential and deeply appreciated. Should you wish to contribute and support this wonderful initiative and work, if you are not already doing so, you can by providing non-perishable food to or to your local representative. Alternatively, you can provide support as outlined in the details below. As a registered non-for-profit charity, donations of $2 and over are tax deductible. God bless you and thank you for your ongoing support to care for those in our community.
So friends, we have so many different ways we can do a little bit to make a difference. South Coast Christian Community Care, Loaves and Fishes, Cafe Crozier, there are so many ways. I invite you to keep in mind that sitting in the shelves, the black shelves near our entry door to our worship space, is a basket which sits there each week to receive donations to support South Coast Christian Community Care. But in our community news email each week, there is a long list of requests that this group has to support those in need in our town. So have a look at that list in your community news email and see if you'd like to support this work of the churches together for the sake of those in need. Today our word has a lot to say about showing our faith active in love. And Marilyn, who leads our, is going to share our reading for today.
Our first reading today comes from James 2. My brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing the fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonoured the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into the court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever kept the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Our second reading is from Mark 7. Jesus left that place and went into the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of his daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dog. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, the demon has left your daughter, a child lying on the bed. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through of Decapolis. There some people and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on them. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven with a deep sigh and said to him, "Ephphatha," which means, "be opened." At this time the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did speak about it, people were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear the Lord."
We pray for the offerings. God of grace, may it be a means of peace. For we know that it is your bless Pastor Nigel as he leads us in reflecting on your word today, and bless us as we listen and as we grow deeper in our knowledge and our relationship.
From God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who doesn't love a little getaway? Getaways are great, aren't they? Isn't it great to just get away to a place where you can just be? To leave your local neighbourhood and get away to a distant land where nobody knows your name. It appears that today in our gospel reading, Jesus was doing something somewhat similar. He goes to a distant land where no one knows, or at least he thinks maybe no one knows his name. We're still in Mark chapter 7 today. And up until now, Jesus' ministry has been focused around the region of Galilee, which is predominantly, well, at least back then, a Jewish area. He had gained many followers. His popularity had him by force to be their king. And last Sunday, as we listened to the reading, we would have heard how Jesus' popularity had grown to the point where even the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, the key leaders from down in Jerusalem, had come up to Galilee to oppose Jesus. And so now Jesus takes a little getaway to a place called Tyre down on the coast, a region so different to where he had done his ministry so far. The culture was different. We're now amongst a group of people who were not necessarily of a Jewish background. And so Jesus crosses the boundaries into another community for his getaway. And very early on in our reading, we would have heard how Jesus simply wanted to slip into the house and not be noticed. But today we've also heard how Jesus' identity could not be kept hid any longer. It seemed that everywhere he went, there would be someone who would recognize him. Away from the epicenter of his ministry, who begs Jesus to deliver her daughter from a spiritual oppression. This woman falls down at the feet of Jesus, asks, pleads, begs Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus' response, at least action, isn't necessarily instant. In fact, his first reply actually probably surprises us. It comes in the form of this unusual parable. First, let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Does that thought make you want to scratch your head and say, what on earth is Jesus talking about here? Well, Jesus is talking in the form of a parable here. And his parable mirrors the rabbinic teaching, which says, as the sacred food was intended for men, but not for the dogs, the Torah was intended to be given to the chosen people, but not to the Gentiles. Of course, the chosen people here listed are the Jews, the people of Israel. But this woman is one who is among the Gentiles. So as far as I can gather, Jesus is simply mirroring back to her the rabbinic teaching that existed at that time. In her reply, this woman demonstrates, though, an incredible respect and an incredible persistence. She honours the fact that Jesus had first come to the Jews, but she demonstrates her belief that Jesus hasn't just come for the Jews. Jesus has come for all. She replies, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Sitting at a high chair trying to feed themselves. Image of the spaghetti bolognese going everywhere is a fair picture of a young child who is trying to eat the food on their own. The food's intended for the child, but where does the food go? Well, maybe they get a mouthful or two, maybe they get a taste, It goes everywhere. It goes on the floor. It goes everywhere. And if you've lived in a home where you've had a young child at a high chair and you've had a puppy in the family, you know what the puppy loves to do, don't you? The puppy loves to clean up after the child, enjoying every lick and morsel that the puppy dog can possibly get and appreciating every bit of that. It's this picture of wanting which this woman shows here for us today. She desperately wants the crumbs of the food that was first intended for the Jews. Now, the other day I found myself dwelling in this text with a group from our congregation. And the group made an interesting connection that I hadn't seen before. Here we're talking about breadcrumbs. And so often in the scriptures we hear about Jesus being the bread of life. Yes, Jesus came to minister to the Jews, but his work bringing spiritual well-being is now for all. And this is made so clear as we look at the ministry of Jesus and his disciples, especially after Jesus' resurrection. After Jesus' resurrection, Jesus sends out his disciples in his name with his authority to share the gospel from Jerusalem, from Judea, but not stopping there amongst the Jewish areas, also to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth where all the other people are like you and me. This woman acknowledges that she's not a Jew, but she makes it so clear that she needs Jesus too. She is persistent in her request, and her persistent request is rewarded, and her character is applauded. Her speaking becomes that creative word that brings about an active response in Jesus. And so when she gets home, she finds her daughter healed, just as Jesus had promised. No longer possessed by any form of demon, now she's at peace. Now she is free. Now, I'm well aware that in our modern age, in our Western world, we don't often feel that comfortable talking about topics like demon possession. I'm sure it's not something that comes up in our regular conversation every day, is it? But maybe we are more familiar about talking about this using other language. Maybe we are more familiar with talking about this using the language of having a troubled soul, or being tormented by our inner thoughts, or feeling restless, or simply finding ourselves arguing with people or criticizing each other. These are all linked to the same thought of being possessed. The good news is that Jesus has come to bring a spiritual healing to all of us who experience this in a variety of different ways. Another way that we could consider this spiritual healing that Jesus promises to give to us is by receiving the gift of his peace. Christ Jesus has come to make you and I whole once again, to give us his peace that is beyond our human understanding. And it's when we receive that peace that we are loved, that we know that we are loved by God. And when we know that we are loved by God, we can face whatever comes our way with the confidence that there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Friends, Jesus has come and comes to us today to bring to you and to me the spiritual healing we so desperately need each and every day. And his spiritual healing enables us to face the physical realities that lie ahead, with peace and confidence, free from all torment. And friends, this is what Jesus does for this woman's daughter. Jesus heals her spiritually, casts out that demon, and gives her peace. Now, Jesus' getaway doesn't just take him to Tyre and Sidon. It also takes him out the other side of Galilee into the area known as the Decapolis. But even there, on the other side of Galilee, Jesus is discovered by the people. And on this occasion, we heard how a group of people bring a friend to Jesus, a friend who is also experiencing another form of spiritual oppression. This man could not hear well or speak well. There was something blocking him from doing so. Beg Jesus to heal their friend. They are begging in a different way to the way the woman begged earlier on. This time we see these people are advocating for the person, speaking, interceding, presenting a case on behalf of the person who could not speak or could not hear well. And the Greek word behind this style of begging, relates to one of the biblical names that Jesus gives for the Holy Spirit. Jesus once called the Holy Spirit our paraclete, our helper, our legal advocate. And we see the work of the Spirit being modelled by these people. These people speak on behalf of the person who is deaf and mute. And Jesus responds by taking the man aside, putting his fingers in his ears, spitting on his hand and touching his tongue, and then making an incredibly forceful sigh, like a groan under pressure. Ephphatha, which means be opened. In that moment, Jesus opens the ears and the mouth of this man. And immediately this person is able to speak. He's able to hear. He is again at peace. He is able to receive the peace of God through the word spoken, and he is able to speak the peace of God through the words that he speaks. Friends, in both of the stories that we have side by side in our gospel reading today, Jesus is responding to people who are led to beg or advocate for another person's well-being. They were calling out to Jesus on behalf of someone in their care. And in both these stories, Jesus brings about a spiritual healing. In both these stories, Jesus gives peace. And in the second story, Jesus even gives the ability to speak his peace to others. As long as you and I are alive in this world, the greatest and most lasting healing that you and I could ever receive is that spiritual healing where we come to understand God has given us his peace through the work of Christ our Saviour. It's then that we are able to stand and remain strong and firm, regardless of what torment we may experience. For we know we are in God's care. And this healing, when we have peace in our hearts, shows when we are able to speak that peace to others. many of us, well, even over the last couple of years, many of us were praying for a brother in Christ who is now with the Lord. Many of you, in fact, gathered for the celebration of his life. A young brother in Christ, Jesse Walker. And the promises that Jesse is now experiencing a physical, perfect healing with Jesus in heaven. But in Jesse's short life here on earth, I believe Jesus gave to Jesse peace within his soul. And it showed in the way that Jesse was able to speak God's peace to others, even while he was suffering physically. Since Jesse's celebration of life several weeks ago, many of us, and I know Bryce and Trish have too, have been touched by stories where we are now hearing about how Jesse would reach out and share a word of peace with his friends and colleagues from over the years. How he would encourage them. His own physical. Yes. Here on earth, which happened to be last weekend on Father's Day. But he did receive God's peace. And boy, we can be grateful that in his short life, he shared that peace with so many of his young friends. So friends, who is in your care? It doesn't matter what your background is. You have the privilege to call out to Jesus, asking him to bring a spiritual healing to them. A spiritual healing to those that you love for, that you love and care for. When Jesus crossed those boundaries, wherever people who are led by the Spirit will call out to him on behalf of others who are in their care. And so one of the most significant ways that you and I can be involved in Christ's mission is to pray to Jesus for the spiritual well-being of others who are in our care. Today in our gospel readings, we have heard two complex examples begging Jesus for that spiritual healing, begging Jesus for the people in their care. And that's the privilege that you and I can experience. For those who are in our care, we all have the authority to intercede with. We too can fall before Jesus and keep on begging spiritual wholeness and peace to our loved ones. We can advocate. We can speak out for the people in our care. And this is what the Holy Spirit continues to do for all of God's children. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our legal advocate, our paraclete in the spiritual world. And the Holy Spirit can speak through you to Christ the Lord, for the sake of the well-being of those who are in your care. In recent years, I can share stories too of where I have seen people who have had the joy of experiencing that spiritual healing. And I know we continue to hear testimonies that we can give thanks for, of the way that God has been at work through his Spirit, bringing spiritual healing to each other too. To wrap up today though, We can't go past the response to these people after Jesus healed the deaf and mute man. The gospel reading finishes with an incredible sense of celebration. As a result, the people were overwhelmed with amazement, and they said of Jesus, "He has done everything well." Can you sense the contrast to how the Pharisees responded to Jesus last week? They didn't think much of Jesus. But now these people far away in a distant land raise Jesus up and honour him as their king. They have seen what happens when Jesus overflows. And they now overflow and gush forth abundant praise in every direction beyond measure. If this was a musical, I could imagine a whole cast and crew jumping up with joy and joining together with a final song of praise. Maybe your favourite one, whatever that might be. Whether it be "How Great Is Our God" or whatever it might be, the whole crew and cast join together in songs of praise. May we participate in God's mission by simply valuing and putting into practice the privilege we have to pray for the spiritual well-being of those in our sphere of influence. And may we trust that Jesus has the power and the authority over all things and is one for you, for me, and for all in our care. And so, as we conclude today, I bless you in the name of Jesus. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ. Amen. People of old, in praising Jesus for the healing he brings to us spiritually. How great thou art. What a beautiful hymn of praise to our God that we join together with Christians around the world in singing. Hey friends, it's amazing how many different milestones we experience along our life journey. And there are so many different ways that we can choose to celebrate different milestones that we have. Well, today I've been invited to celebrate a particular milestone in a special way that we don't often get a chance to celebrate. And that is by placing a special blessing upon a couple who have just celebrated a recent milestone. The other week, Alan Bodger came up to me and said, "Nigel, can you share a little blessing for Pat and myself as we celebrate our 60th wedding anniversary this last week?" And so, because I was asked, how could I possibly refuse? I couldn't. So can we please invite Pat and Alan to come and join me up the front here today? Our bride and groom from 60 years ago. Can you imagine Pat and Alan coming up to celebrate their wedding day? And now, 60 years on, the Lord has blessed you with each other still. And I thank God for the witness that you and others who continue to go through ups and downs in life and still say, we're number one together. Today, as we celebrate your 60th wedding anniversary from the other day, we thank God for the blessings he has given to both of you and each other, and we ask God to continue to guide you and bless your life in this lifetime together. In John 15, verse 12, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. No greater love is this than to lay down one's life for one's friends." You are friends for life with each other. And so I'd like to pray a blessing upon you. And as I do so, I also think of others in our community who might be quietly celebrating their special days very soon too. May I pray for you today. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with Alan and Pat and their marriage to encourage them and support them. Remain with them in the years that lie ahead. Be their refuge in trouble and their joy in the face of sorrow, their song in happiness and their strength in sickness, their life in the hour of death, and bring them both to the wedding supper of our Lord Jesus, where we will feast with you and rejoice forever in your presence. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so Alan and Pat, where's your hands? Let's place your hands here. I want to bless both of you with this. I bless you both in the name of Jesus, that you may love each other as he has loved you first. And may God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit bless you so that you may continue to live together in faith and love and receive the gift of eternal life. Amen. I wonder if the bride and the groom want to celebrate the blessing with a kiss. I know there's several others of you in the room here who have also either celebrated significant milestones who are very, very soon. And Lord bless your marriages too, and every marriage that's represented in this room today. This coming week, from the 10th to the 16th, happens to be Marriage Week. So if you want to Google that and learn a few more little tips on how you can support your marriage, Marriage Week is from the 10th to the 16th. Let's come before our Lord in prayer now.
Our gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are amazed at the diversity of your good creation among us. as we recognize you in each other. Lead us to cherish and celebrate our life together. Thank you for our church, our forthcoming synod, and your promise to be with us on the journey before, the journey through, and the journey afterwards. We praise you for your good and perfect law. We thank you that through Jesus' death and resurrection, you have given us the righteousness of Christ so that we can uphold your law and be forgiven when we fail. Help each of us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Correct us when we are in error, and empower us to speak with grace and truth to others, seeing each other as you see us, the given children of God. Dear Lord, thank you for the promise of your presence in all the turmoil and struggles that occur in our lives. Just as the Israelites were not spared the wilderness wanderings or the desolation and confusion of exile, and just as the early Christians suffered so much, neither are we. Lead us, sustain us, and encourage us. Bless us in our quiet times as we meditate on your life-giving word, and give us your wisdom and grace in all we undertake. God of loving mercy, hear the prayers we bring this day and those that go unsaid. Hear our prayers for the peace of the world, peace between nations and people who are in conflict. We pray that people will learn to look past those things that divide us and embrace equality and justice for all. We pray for those places where freedom is denied and violence is a daily occurrence. Lord God, compassionate healer, we pray for Elaine Stanger and Anne Bartell and others in our community with medical needs. May they feel your presence as you hold them close. You know their needs, Lord. Bless them, we pray, and give them peace. Be with Pastor Nigel, Amelia, and their family, with Bishop Paul Smith and with Bishop Neville Otto as they finalise General Convention of Synod matters. Thank you for all faithful servants who are obedient to your call. We pray for our nation, hoping that we will find the way to live out those values that reflect your will and the teachings of Christ. We pray for religious tolerance, that we might see the value in what one another believes without criticism. We pray a blessing on South Coast Christian Community Care and other support agencies, the volunteers and people who seek their support. May whatever way we can give through material support and prayer be a blessing. And we pray for all families. May there be an end to domestic violence. May all children grow in the security of being. Parents be secure enough to act. Let there be peace on earth with me. Of Jesus Christ, Father in invite you now to stand as we say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty.
Merciful God, who embraces us despite our foolishness, have mercy on us, we pray. We are so often quick to judge and condemn others while excusing our own behaviour, and want them to be like us, rather than seeing our shared humanity. We are sorry that we are slow to learn the truth, that you see us all as equal. Enable us to be open to our neighbour, for in truth we need your help to embrace others without condition. Make us like Christ in all his ways. Amen. We look at life through the eyes of Jesus. We see our relationships and people differently. When we come to his table, we hear that Jesus has shed his blood that we may be forgiven. And so, because of his grace, we come to his table today as his forgiven, beloved children. May you come and receive his peace this day. Amen. And so, Lord Jesus, with those promises, we remember and give thanks to you. On the night when our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Come and receive the body and blood of your Saviour this day, that the gift of peace
give this day. Hear us praise.
So may the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen you and preserve you in body and in soul to life eternal. Go and be at peace. Amen. We pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the wonder of life and of human diversity. We thank you for the rich tapestry that makes up the human race. You have created an amazing world full of colour and beauty. And we are so grateful that you have given us life and restored our life in abundance in this meal today. May we never stop rejoicing in your goodness and love. May we ever honour you through our worship, our adoration and praise. To you be the honour and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so as you go into this new week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favour and give you peace. Amen. Let's stand for our closing song.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul. And then for